Jan, Nama Chaya Shri Hari Das Thakur Ki Jan, Iskan Guru Vrinda Ki Jan, Name to the Holy Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jan, Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gaura Gopinath Shyamakum Radhakum Giri Gaura Dhyana Ki Jan, Shri Vrindavan Dhyana Ki Jan, Shri Mayapur Dhyana Ki Jan, Jagannath Puri Dhyana Ki Jan, Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jan, Ganga Jamuna Mai Ki Jan, Sankirtan Jagna Ki Jai, Vihatma Dhamma Tensana Bhakti Bhushana Ki Jai, Granthurai Srimad Bhagavatama Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda, Swarna Veda Bhakta Vinda Ki Jai, All glories to some of the devotees, All glories to some of the devotees, All glories to some of the devotees, All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 7. Chapter is entitled, Lord Krishna Instructs Uddhava. Today we're on Text 4. Text 4. No, that was yesterday. 2 and 3 was yesterday. Text 4 is today. Tamahar did 2 and 3. I hope I'm right. Yahi.
Yahi.
Eva.
Eva.
I am.
I am.
Maya.
Maya.
Jatva. Jatva. I'll say Jatva.
Jatva.
Loka.
Loka.
I am.
I am.
Nasta Mangala.
Avishati,
Achirat, Sadho, Kalina, Api, Nirakrita, Yayeva Yam Maya Tyakto, Lokayam Nasta Mangala. Abhishyat yachirat sadho
Abhishyat yachirat sadho
Kalinapi nirakrita
Kalinapi nirakrita
Yayevayam mayatyakto
Yayevayam mayatyakto
Lokoyam nasta mangala
Lokoyam nasta mangala
Abhishyat yachirat sadho Kalinapi nirakrita.
Kalinapi nirakrita.
Question?
Yahya vayam mayatyakto.
Yahya vayam
mayatyakto.
Loyam samandha.
Loyam
samandha. Nirakrita.
Vaishnavis?
Yari evaya maya tyakto
Yari evaya maya tyakto
Lokoyam nashta mangalaha
Lokoyam nashta mangalaha
Abhishyat
kirtirasaho Abhishyat Yahi.
When?
Eva. Certainly.
Certainly.
I am.
This.
Maya. By me. Shakta.
Abandoned.
Loka. The world.
I am.
This. Nashta Mangala. Bereft of all auspiciousness or piety. Avishyati, it will be. Achirat, very soon. Sadho,
O
saintly one. Kalina, Utukali. Api, himself. Nirakrita, overwhelmed. O saintly Uddhava, in the near future, I shall abandon this earth. Then, being overwhelmed by the age of Kali, the earth will be bereft of all piety. Please repeat. O saintly Uddhava, in the near future, I will abandon this earth. Then, being overwhelmed by the age of Kali, the earth will be bereft of all piety. Purport. Lord Krishna's plan was to bring Uddhava back to his own eternal abode after a brief delay. Because of Uddhava's extraordinary spiritual qualities, the Lord wanted to engage him in propagating his message among other saintly persons who are not yet advance to the stage of pure devotional service. However, the Lord assured Uddhava that he would not be bereft of the Lord's association for even a moment. Also, because Uddhava had become a perfect master of his senses, he would never be afflicted by the modes of material nature. In this way, before bringing Uddhava back to Godhead, the Lord empowered him to carry out a specific confidential mission. Wherever the supreme position of the personality of Godhead is not recognized, useless mental speculation becomes very prominent, and the safe and sure way of hearing perfect Vedic knowledge becomes covered by the chaos of mental concoction. At the present time, especially in the Western countries, literally millions of books are being published on hundreds and thousands of topics, yet despite this proliferation of mental concoction, people remain totally in ignorance about the most fundamental issues of human life, namely, who am I? Where have I come from? Where am I going? What is my soul? What is God? The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is a reservoir of innumerable enchanting pastimes, and thus he is the source of innumerable varieties of pleasure. In fact, he is the ocean of eternal pleasure. When the eternal soul is bereft of the constitutional pleasure that comes from loving service to the Lord, he is overwhelmed and bewildered by material nature. He helplessly chases after material sense gratification, thinking that one material object is good and another is bad, and constantly changes his assessment of what is good and what is bad. Thus he derives no peace or pleasure, is in constant anxiety, and is repeatedly thrashed by the cruel laws of nature in the form of birth, death, old age, and disease. In this way, the conditioned soul becomes a fit candidate to take birth in Kali Yuga, which is the epitome of misfortune. In Kali Yuga, the living entities who are already suffering so many tribulations mercilessly turn against one another. Human society in Kali Yuga becomes savagely violent, and men open slaughterhouses to butcher hundreds of millions of innocent creatures. Large-scale wars are declared, and millions of human beings, even women and children, are quickly annihilated. Unless the living entity recognizes the authority of the personality of Godhead, remains a helpless victim in the clutches of Maya or a material illusion. He concocts different solutions to release himself from Maya, but these solutions are themselves creations of Maya and thus cannot possibly release the conditioned soul. In fact, they only intensify his distress. In the next verse, Lord Krishna specifically warns Uddhava to avoid Kali Yuga and go back home, back to Godhead. Those of us who have already taken birth in Kali Yuga should also heed this advice and immediately take all necessary steps to go back to the Lord's eternal abode for a blissful life of perfect knowledge. The material world is never a happy place, especially during the fearful days of Kali Yuga. Yevayam maya chato lokoyam nastamangala avishyat yachirat sado kalinapi narakrita. O saintly Uddhava, in the near future I will abandon this earth, then being overwhelmed by the age of Kali, the earth will be bereft of all piety. Om Aganatimarandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Shakshur Umaitam Gana. Each of you are so fortunate to have taken birth in Kali Yuga. This is what we're hearing about today. So, Lord Krishna had a plan for Uddhava, which is quite unique. It's revealed in a couple more verses and in the purport, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives his commentary kind of the internal rasp going on. But even I was quite bewildered by it, because what he has in store for him, he's going to chain him up, and then he's going to send him to Bhadraka Ashram to enlighten Narayana Rishi and the other Paramahamsa sages. So, can't quite figure that one out, but at any rate, this is, he's describing, Krishna's describing, and this is his commentary with Vishwanath, from Vishwanath, that Krishna's meditating, you know, I married 16,108 wives, you know, I slayed so many demons, I went to so many meetings and festivals in Vrindavan and Dwarka and Hastinapur and Mathura, and, you know, I went to deliver the six children of Devaki that Kamsa killed. You know, there were so many different activities I did, but somehow or other, I couldn't fit in enough time to go and see Narayana Rishi and the Paramahamsa sages at Bhadraka Ashram. So, Uddhava, you're just as good as I am. You do it. Okay, so, because they really wanted to see me, but somehow I couldn't fit it into my schedule. So, not quite clear. I'm sure that this will be revealed in future classes. I won't steal anybody's glory by trying to unpack all that, and I don't think I have a qualification either. But anyway, let's move ahead. So when this is some pretty poignant descriptions of what goes on in Kali Yuga. When the eternal soul, and I'm reading from the purport here, is bereft of the constitutional pleasure that comes from loving service to the Lord, he is overwhelmed and bewildered by material nature. He helplessly chases after material sense gratification. Does that sound like something that any of us have ever been through? Yeah? Yeah? So, I mean, I know it's not going on now, let's hope, but it's something that's, you know, and you see this with people, and it's really, it brings so much, it awakens compassion in our heart when we see the kind of hell that people go through. I have a friend in Mayapur. Jeez, I was just trying to think of his name because it just occurred to me until this past time. But he was born in East Bengal. And he married the granddaughter of Prabhupada Pringavan. You got a photographic memory. Who am I talking about?
Tejaswamy.
No.
Yeah, he's a doctor.
Who? Right, Ragamaka. You know, he lived right next door to me. Suchitendriya. Huh? Suchitendriya, yeah. Okay, so, I mean, talk about heavy stuff. When the Islamic Sikhs invaded or tried to take over East Bengal after partition, then, I mean, I guess that was a little bit later than partition, because there was a Beatle concert that was to raise money for that. Yeah, in the 60s. But they killed... They outdid Hitler. I think they killed 11 million East Bengal Hindus. And they came to his home, and they were wealthy landowners, so his mother took all of her jewels and put it in a case and bribed them. But they lined up, I think it was five of his uncles, and just to save an ammunition, they shot all of them right straight through. Killed all of them. And then when they were escaping, his father put him in a boat, covered it over with some blankets, put all his family in the boat. And then he took the rope in the front of the boat, you know, that you tie the boat up at a dock with, and he swam underwater across the Jalungi. They only lived like 15 miles from Mayapur. And he still has the blankets that, with the bullet holes in, you know, that the Islamic Sikhs were shooting at the boat with. And then, after all of that, so that was, and then he was a very small child when he landed in Mayapur. And I'm trying to remember which flood it was. It was about 2004, maybe 2005.
2006,
okay. They were escaping Mayapur because the floodwater was coming in, and there was a warning that the barrages upstream, barrages means dam in Mayapur, that they were being let out. So he took his family by boat, and they were going, you know, just by, I don't know how to describe it, just by that, the Chaitanya Math. And, you know, his brother and he, they were pushing the boat and turning the oars, and then what happened, the boat tips over. He loses his daughter, he loses his wife, and he loses his brother. All in one action, you know, because there was a swift current that came through. So it's, you know, Kali Yuga, my goodness, you know, so heavy. So what to make of all of this? Okay, I just wanted to make sure you didn't fall asleep, so I told you this really heavy story. He's doing pretty good, considering everything, but he was super traumatized for quite a few months. And he was a good friend of mine, Suchitendriya Prabhu. And so when this eternal soul is bereft of the constitutional pleasure that comes from loving service to the Lord, He's overwhelmed and bewildered by material energy. He helplessly chases after material sense gratification. Reminds us of a nice verse from teachings of Lord Rishabhdev in the fifth chapter of the fifth canto. Nunam pramata kuru te vikarma yad indriya pritaya apnoti na sarumanye yatma atmanoyam asanati kreshada asudeha. So when a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he simply becomes mad at the materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activities. He doesn't know that he's got this material body due to his past misdeeds. Actually, if he's really intelligent, he wouldn't do what he's doing because he's going to get another one. So anyway, this is the condition of practically 99.9% of the world's population now. And we've gotten special mercy. Okay, so that kind of consciousness, nunam pramatavi kurutevi karma, yad indriya pitya apnoti, this is makes us a fit candidate for taking birth in Kali Yuga. Okay, that's maybe why we're here. So the last sentence in this purport, the material world is never a happy place, especially during the fearful days of Kali Yuga. Okay, now, so how do we get out of here? Okay, so now there's another way that Kali Yuga is described in this canto. It's quite a, it's a flip. Flip of this. And this is in the fifth chapter, right after the famous Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangrashta Parshadam verse, which predicts the advent of Lord Krishna. And beginning with text, that's 11.5.32, that verse. And then we've got 11.5.36 to 40, which give a quite a different angle of vision in it, but it's connected with these descriptions of the hellish nature of Kali Yuga. Okay, so here's the translation for 36. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age, the Arya, those advanced in knowledge, the Aryans. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga in this fallen age, because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can be easily achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. Got it? Pretty far up. Such enlightened persons, these are self-realized persons, they worship Kali Yuga because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can be easily achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. Hare Krishna. Okay, so out of the purport, although Kali Yuga is considered to be an ocean of contamination, that's what we're hearing about today in today's verse in purport, there's also an ocean of good fortune in Kali Yuga. In other words, all of the degradation of Kali Yuga is completely turned around by the auspicity of the Yuga Dharma. Okay, and here's text 37. Indeed, there's no higher possible gain for embodied souls forced to wander throughout the material world than the Supreme Lord Sankirtan movement, by which one can attain the supreme peace and free oneself from the cycle of repeated birth and death. Okay, now, Sridharaswami, he says, it quotes him in the purport, even previous ages, such as in Satya Yuga, it was not possible for living entities to achieve the perfection that is available in Kali Yuga. Jiva Goswami, he unpacks this. And he's cited in this purport too. Satya Yuga's people are incredibly qualified. You know, they can do these, like, thousands of years of austerities, practically not eating, practically breathing every hour or something like that, and just amazing things. And they wouldn't really be satisfied to just do such a simple practice as vibrating a mantra on the tongue. You know, they need something they can really, feel that they're in the stretch zone. You know? No pun intended with that, Madame. Okay. So the other thing is that's really significant is that in Satyuga, sinful life's unheard of. So they don't feel helpless. They're more of goodness, happy, Hare Krishna. You know, I mean, it's not a big thing for them what's going on. You know, they can glide along. There's no sense of urgency to get out of hellish conditions or turn things around. They're happy. They can meticulously follow all the laws of Dharma and Ashtanga Yoga, but they don't feel themselves to be in a helpless condition. That's the key point. And thus, they cannot always experience intense love for Krishna. Okay, so, but in Kali Yuga, the conditions are so unbearable, the governments are so obnoxious, you get great presidents of countries now, and, you know, who knows where it's going to go, but probably, you know, people are physically diseased. 50% of all men in America will come down with cancer. Watch out, Prabhus. Watch what you eat. Make sure you get your exercise, stuff like that. And then what to speak of the mental disease. I heard the percentage of kids that are on psychotropic drugs, you know, in elementary schools. I mean, it's incredible. There's a friend of mine, he's a child psychologist. When I was doing Panchakarma in Udupi, he was going to the Bhajan Kutir, which is where it's kind of like a base in Manipal. And so now he's a child psychologist, a psychiatrist here. And he says, within 5 years, there will be an official diagnosis for children who are addicted to computer games.
Wow.
Because it has such a disabling impact on them. And so, word to the wise, parents. We try to keep our kids off in Mayapur of all places, to speak of America, but you know, you've got to have a lot of shakti to pull that one off. The conditioned souls, because of the conditions, because, you know, it's so heavy, they intensely cried out to the Holy Name, begging for relief from the onslaught of Kali. Kali Yuga is therefore the best of ages, more than in Satyuga or other ages. Conditioned souls become so disgusted with the kingdom of illusion and surrender fully to the Lord's holy name. Okay, so I'm gonna like fine tune that a little bit because it sounds a little bit like mokshavad, moksha, you know, desire for liberation. It's creating this intense eagerness to chant, but we'll clarify this a little bit later on. So don't leave yet. I'm sorry, you can leave. That's all right. You got important things to do. I'm only joking. My dear King, this is, I just took the kind of the essence out of this verse. This is the last verse that is relevant to this discussion. My dear King, the people of Satyuga and other ages eagerly desire to take birth in this age of Kali, since in this age there are so many devotees of the Supreme Lord Narayan. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Hoy, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Okay, so, you know, it's just 11th of a second is all it takes, and bingo, you know, the lights go on. So this is what can happen, and they're all over the place. I mean, now how many temples are there? And this guy, what, about 500? You go anywhere in the world, any place I travel, I can look it up on Krishna.com, and there's a temple nearby, or I got friends, or this or that, and you know, you got a place to stay, and some good prasadam. It's pretty amazing. And it's just the beginning, you know, we just entered the golden age of 10,000 years of Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga. This is actually the best time to be here. Okay? And I'm not trying to contradict anything that Krishna is instructing Uddhava, but there's a different angle of vision that's being presented. This is, right, Madan? Yeah, okay. He's given me a go-ahead, the green light. I'm doing okay, I guess. Okay, and you know, one of the reasons there's so many devotees chanting Hare Krishna, because all the other paths is because the conditions are so extreme in Kali Yuga, they collapse. They just can't go on. You know, I mean, there's a few, more than a few, a lot of yoga groups, but you know, they usually, they don't, all they basically do is get into the physical side. You know, there's a few that do the pranayama, but meditation, you know, give me a break, you know, I mean, minds just aren't that peaceful in Kali Yuga. Okay, so let's keep moving here. So there's another really good reference in the 12th canto. Kalera dosha nidhe rajan ashti yeko mahanduna kirtana deva krishna sya mukta sangha parambhajan. So it's an ocean of faults in Kali Yuga, but there's one redeeming quality, the chanting of the holy name that one can achieve. It's affection. So it's, and go to the transcendental kingdom. So how do we practically move ahead? Okay, so we got all of these beneficent, you know, verses and understanding, but how do we practically go ahead? And we do see that a lot of people don't go ahead. You know, even within our movement, there's a fairly high attrition rate. And there's maybe a lack of enthusiasm in rendering service. And this is the point, you know, in Tamahari's excellent class yesterday, he made the point about how in order to realize Krishna, Janma karma chamayi divyami vamyoviti tatvatahan chakradiham punarjanma naitimamiti sojuna. You understand his birth and activities and really get into the relationship which requires a service attitude. Okay, so how do we get that? You know, do we just switch the service attitude switch, you know, in our brain? You know, it's, and that's such an easy thing, as we see, you know, to maintain, and particularly when we got the onslaught of distresses coming our way. Wow! You know, the real and particularly if we're not getting along with someone, you know, that's maybe in the temple authority or something like that, then the heck with you guys, you know, I'm not. So there's a lot of challenges to keep that, you know, service attitude alive and well, to be fully enthusiastic, isn't it? I mean, think about it. Look back at your multiple years as devotees, and as you all reflect, it's maintain determination against all odds, and a lot of times that's what it is. It's all odds. It's not easy. Okay, so there's, I got some ideas how it can be done. So I'll unpack them for you. First I will cite Vrindavan Das Thakur. And in his Chaitanya Bhagavat, and he says in text Madhya Kanda 24, text 72, bhakti means to cry while remembering or chanting the holy name. Okay, so the crying, that might be the switch, actually, you know, just get a little clue here. Because the soul is in this miserable place, and we're reminded this is a miserable place by the miserable conditions in Kali Yuga. So Chaitanya, he cries through a holy name now. You know, he went through unbelievable stuff. Not to speak of some of the people that were in the Nazi concentration camps, you know, I mean, some of the stories that come out of that. Ooh-wee, heavy duty. Okay, so he cries. There's a crying because he's starting to feel, oh man, this is not a place where I can be happy. Okay, so then what's the qualification for crying? You just get kicked? I mean, a lot of people get kicked, but then they don't cry. They don't cry the holy name. So what makes that work?
Prabhupada said you have to cry if you don't cry.
Okay, but what is the qualification for crying? This is the point. That answer is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintamani. Okay, so when the jivas come to realize that the path of karma does not give them eternal good, or when they come fully convinced that there's not the least chance to attain perpetual happiness by mundane wisdom or limited knowledge that aims at the spiritual kingdom, They don't have any place to go. And it, when it actually dawns on them, that's why it's helpful to be in Kali Yuga. Because it's so extreme. Thus, by the grace of sadhus and the spiritual preceptor, they cry out to Krishna from the deepest recesses of their heart. That's what's required to cry. Okay, now what's this got to do with service attitude? Okay, so we're coming there. So that crying, it could be Ayimana Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mandishame Bhavambudho Kripaya Baba Tava Pada Pankaja Stita Duli Sudisham Vichintaya. So this is the cry, really. It's what it is. Lord Chaitanya, he's crying, he's teaching us how to cry. That's what we're crying for. I'm the eternal servitor, but yet some other, and in this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up and place me as one of the specks that you will see. That's what the cry is all about. There's another cry I'll tell you about a little bit later. But, okay, so then, the next verse in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the pure name of Krishna manifests when one cries while chanting the holy name of Krishna.
Wow.
Wealth and high birth are useless if one does not worship Krishna. Okay, so here's when we get into this whole discussion. Is a moksha, you know, that I'm prompted by the harshness of the Kali Yuga material energy and all the distresses that I go through. When a prideless person repeatedly calls, this is a commentary on this verse from Chaitanya Bhagavat. When a prideless person repeatedly calls out the name of Krishna with a melted heart and realizes that the name of Krishna and Krishna are none different, he attains the eternal service of the Holy Name. It's actually the real key. Maybe that's service attitude. But to get the service attitude, you know, this is where it's coming from. And this is the Yuga Dharma, chanting the Holy Name. Okay, a person's afflicted by false argument and false ego who cry out of material distress do not attain devotional service. Hare Krishna. Rather, inclination for the service of the Supreme Lord manifests only in the melted hearts of prideless persons. The crying out of distress born of dominating the material world or losing such domination is not intended here. Rather, it is understood that such ecstatic crying results from eternal happiness. Well, it's just understanding that there's not here, it's with Krishna that we're going to get it. And so then we cry. We're just wasting our time here. There's one thing after another trying to put band-aids on, you know, to keep the owies from killing us. But then what? Okay, so one other, just, oh boy. Time, I am. Okay, there's another real significant and relevant reference here. This is from, we covered this in the fourth chapter of this canon, and this is when, it's a description of the glories of Narayana Rishi, and then Indra gets envious at all the austerities and a little fearful that it might encroach upon his turf, you know, that he may become so powerful by all the austerities that Narayana Rishi is performing. So he sends Cupid along with some good-looking girls to distract him. And so there's some interesting points that are made in this regard. This is in text 10 of that fourth chapter. The demigods place many obstacles on the path of those who worship you to transcend the temporary abodes of the demigods and reach your supreme abode. Those who offer the demigods their assigned shares in But because you are the direct protector of your devotee, he's able to step over the head of whatever obstacles the demigods place before him. I mean, demigods, you know, they're actually controlling the material energy in Kali Yuga. Okay. So the demigods resent the exalted position, or the, you know, kind of the exclusive devotion that the devotee offers to Krishna. Okay, so they give them trouble. Just the way we're getting tested. Therefore, so-called, okay, so these obstacles, they actually serve as stimuli for the devotee. It's not, you know, those are not reasons to quit. We should go much deeper in our determination when things don't go well. That's the mood that someone who's actually accepted the, and this is what Krishna sends him for. When accepts that there's no happiness in this material realm, he goes deeper in his determination to serve Krishna. That's what these stimuli are sent for. Okay, so although there may be many obstacles on the path of the sincere devotee who is preaching the glories of the Lord, such obstacles increase the determination of the devotee. According to Jiva Goswami, the continuous obstacles by the demigods form a kind of ladder or stairway which the devotee progresses back to the kingdom of God. Wow. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
How about that, huh? Okay, so I better stop here because the hook's about ready to grab my neck. Are there any questions or comments? Tirukram Prabhu. There's a couple other things I wanted to say. Okay? Sorry to take away the mic from you. But I just heard a really incredible, and if anybody can find it, I'll give you like a 5 pieces of burfi. But this is a letter that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote from Mayapur to a disciple who was in charge of the math in Varanasi. And this disciple was disturbed. He was being afflicted by his previous life's trajectory, you know, his conditioning. And so he gave him some pretty powerful advice. And he, it's a long letter. I heard it read on a recorded class, and I wrote to Dr. Vikas Swami, and he hasn't gotten back to me with the letter. I'm sure he's got it. But, basically, he's describing how our anarthas, anybody got any anarthas? Please raise your hand. Okay. These anarthas, when you go to purification, they can be turned into your assets. Okay, so we're under, many of us, some of us are, lot of us are on the Anartha Nivritti platform. So that Anartha Nivritti can be turned into Artha Pravritti. The Arthas, these are assets to be used in the permanent service of the Lord. So, yeah, hey, look at Bhava Mandala Thakur. I mean, talk about, he had some real problems. Right? But look at where he went. Also, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Talk about, illusion. Talk about Prakashananda Saraswati. So these anarthas, when purified, become incredible assets. So don't feel sorry for yourself. Here's the second type of crying. Okay, from Bhajan Rahasya, commentary of Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a couple very powerful points that one who fails to try and flee himself from anarthas meets only with misfortune in this lifetime and does not achieve the mercy of the Holy Name. Okay. Sound okay? Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Start working on it, Prabhus. Okay. Second verse. On one's own, one cannot free himself from anarthas. But if he cries to the Holy Name for several days, the Holy Name will remove all of the anarthas from his heart. He actually uses several days. It's not so hyperbole. Just give it a try. Okay, Tivakram, I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself.
Very nice. Actually, I forgot that today was actually my day for class, but we had such My comprehension,
so many challenges I took shelter of Chivakram Prabhu.
My comprehension of the anomalies of Kali Yuga is this. Kali Yuga is benedicted for the 10,000 years with the Sankirtan movement, but after that, gradually, everything will start to step in. You know, like, that's all predicted in Srimad Bhagavatam. People will start to forget about God after so many, you know, because Kali Yuga is 432,000 years. 10,000 years is just a minuscule of that, you see. So it would, you know, that would, after that passed through, the 10,000 years, then the real anomalies would step in.
So you're trying to say that Krishna is right in his instruction to Uddhava?
Well, part of that, but what's predicted for Kali Yuga, you know, but,
yeah,
but
right.
You know, I mean, we shouldn't lose sight of that, you know.
Oh, that's okay. But there's great impetus now, but the conditions are still very heavy. But even, you know, if we have Govinda in our heart, then Kali Yuga turns into Satyayuga. Can't give you the reference, but it's there. I'll give it to you later if you need it. Anybody else? No? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you.